T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios with you here on a nice warm Saturday afternoon. John Chuckery hanging out. Just about another hour to go. So the NBA announced on Friday that guard Tyreke Evans has been dismissed and disqualified from the league for violating the terms of the NBA's Player Association anti-drug program. It's going to be 2 years before he can be reinstated. Played for the Indiana Pacers this season, averaged 10 points, 3 rebounds, almost 2.5 assists, averaged about 20 minutes a game. Was going to become a free agent at the end of the year. The team said in a statement, "We take these matters seriously and reach out to Tyreke to offer our support." It says that according to the NBA guidelines, a player can be dismissed or disqualified from the league for testing positive for a drug of abuse, or if he's convicted or pleads guilty to the use, possession, or distribution of a drug of abuse. So 2 years, though. Going to be 2 years before he can apply for reinstatement back in the league. It says he sat out one game early in the season for violating team rules and issued an apology for them being late to practice. Missed 3 games late in the year due to personal reasons and a respiratory infection. But hopefully he gets the help that he needs. But especially when you're 29 years old, you need to, need to get it cleaned up and get it back together, because your shelf life in the NBA won't be all that much longer. So still plenty to get into. We're going to get into some Braves when we come back. Talk a little Hawks with you here before we hand off to Rob Tribble at 5 o'clock. Don't forget, tomorrow, Atlanta United in action. Jason Longshore, Mike Conti on the call. Pre-game will be at 4:30 with those guys. 5 o'clock kickoff up in New York against the Red Bulls. Oh, I don't know. I think the Red Bulls are more of our rival than what Orlando is. I get the geographic nature, and they don't really like us and all that good kind of stuff. But I think New York, is more of the competitive rival with Atlanta than what Orlando is, because Orlando's never beaten us. What is it, 5-0-2, I think, is what our record is against Orlando all time. So, until it evens out a little bit. I get why. I mean, just the geographic nature of those two cities and what they are and all that kind of stuff. But I think New York, for me at least, the Red Bulls especially, are much more. And they've been a Supporter Shield winner and things like that. They took it, they won that last year over us. So to me, the more successful team is who we got to look at. So we will talk about the Braves when we get back. Who would be your trade chips for the Braves if they are going to make a move? Who are you willing to part with? We'll talk about all that next. Chuck Ring, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios on a nice, warm, toasty Saturday afternoon. John Chuck, we're here with you. Another hour to go. Rob Tribble come up at 5 o'clock, 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to interact with us. Streaming online, if you go to 929thegame.com, you can catch all of our radio replays up there. I should say all the replays of the shows. Breaking sports news. You got your interviews up there. All kinds of hot takes. All that good stuff on our new and improved website. Download your radio.com app. Put that on a phone, a tablet, a turntable, a CD player, boombox, whatever you got, Walkman, Laserdisc, Blu-ray. That way you can always catch us live as you're on the go. All of our social media, it is at 929thegame. You can check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you want to interact with the show, always the best way is to follow me on Twitter at JMCH316, at JMCH316, if you want to be part of the conversation there. So, Braves last night, it was a good night. They did make some moves, though. As Mark Bowman is reporting, the Braves are releasing Johnny Venters. Whew! Our long national nightmare. Can we stop with the, hey, it's a great story to have Venters back. Yay, he's back. Yeah, isn't that nice? Oh, hey, comeback player with his 20 ERA. Hey, you know what, though? It's funny. He gave up 4 runs last night, and because none of them were earned, dropped his ERA back down to 17.5. I could go up as a right-handed batter right now and get a hit off Johnny Venters. That's how bad he is against right-handers right now. Ryan Braun lit him up again last night. I think he's given up to like four right-handed batters. Two of them have homered off him. I'm glad it only took a 20 ERA to get him to, you know, move on from the story that is Johnny Venters. Because I asked Joe Patrick about this. Why is he on the squad? So we could bring him in high leverage situation? Because he got a save? Because he pitched to one batter and got a save? That's why he's still on the okay. Now, Randy McMichael's favorite guy, Jerry Blevins, is back. We just keep this cavalcade of stars coming back. That Partridge Family bus that we run from Smyrna to Buford and back. One thing we lead the league in is diesel fuel burned to get our guys back and forth to from Smyrna to Buford. So as the Braves try to keep revamping their bullpen, because I don't know what else you can call it at this point, the question I have, gosh, that went Peter Brady there. Holy cow. Got the tones going there. The question that I have, if you want to really improve the bullpen, and I'm not talking about Craig Kimbrell, as I've said many times on this show, I firmly believe you could tell me about June 1st draft picks and pool money and all these kinds of things, you know, whatever you want to do. I don't believe for a second that the Braves are going to bring Craig Kimbrell in here. For whatever reasons, I don't think that Kimbrell is going to be a guy. Again, I'll say it like this. I'll probably get in trouble, I know. But there's a better chance I will cook dinner five nights a week for Lauren Posen of WSB than they'll bring in Craig Kimbrell. That's how sure of it that I am that they won't at this point. I get because of what happened, they need the draft pick. And okay, I mean, now it begs the question of if they are going to make a move. You know, people have speculated, could they go after Madison Bumgarner? Will they go after this guy? What are you willing to give up? Because Ender Inciarte alone, who I think everybody agrees, probably is a guy that you could certainly most likely want to shop. There is some value. He's a Gold Glove center fielder who's cheap. But that value is only going to get you so far if he's a 217 hitter. And he doesn't get on base, and he's not stealing enough bases because he can't get on base. Because offensively, that's where his value is. Get on base, steal bases with a little bit of pop into his bat. You're going to have to start thinking about, if we're ready to win this year, because nobody wants that division right now, right? No, nobody wants to run away with the NL East. It's Philly, a game and a half ahead of Atlanta, 4.5 ahead of the Mets. Mets are 3 below 500. The Nationals stink. Remember everybody who told me, by the way, too, how much better the Nationals were going to be without Bryce Harper? Randy and I remember that. Remember how good they were going to be? Oh, that's addition by subtraction. Oh, okay. They're 18-26 and they stink. They're 9-13 at home, 9-13 on the road. Minus 32 run differential. But they'll be better. Okay. All right. And they got all those guys, too, that don't even give up runs. You know, Corbin and Scherzer and Strasburg. They got guys that just don't even give up a lot of runs. And they're still a minus 32 in run. Oh, okay. All right. Anyway. Back to my original point. The Braves have got to, at some point, start to get flexible about some of these young prospects. And I'm not talking about the outfielders. Drew Waters, Christian Pache, those guys will be up. But the idea that we can't get rid of Colby Allard, you know, I'll keep Ian Anderson. Short of that, if that means Colby Allard or Kyle Wright or one of those guys has to go, for my big club to win, then move those guys. One guy that I would really hate to see go, because I think he's got a lot of value to this club, would be Johan Camargo. But that's a piece that another team could look at and say, you know what? When he took over third base full time, he had 19 homers and 76 RBIs. You know what? He's competent enough in left field that we could play him out there. Somebody could very much covet the idea of Johan Camargo. And I keep saying, if that means that makes the big club better, because Ender Inciarte by himself with his value isn't getting you anything back. I mean, you're not getting Madison Bumgarner back if that's what you wanted for Ender Inciarte. You're going to have to give up some of your prospects because they're not just handing over Madison Bumgarner for the sake of handing him over for fish heads and rice. It's not how that's going to work. And I don't even know. Madison might be a 10-5 guy at this point and could veto any trade. Can't imagine he wouldn't want to come to Atlanta, but you're going to have to give up something. I'm for starting to think about moving some of these young prospects, these pitching prospects, if that means upgrading. If we're not going to put those guys, enough of those guys, in a situation up here to help this club, then I don't want to hear about they need to make their start every fifth day down there. I mean, I think we all agree. Max Fried, Mike Soroka are part of the long-term solution. You need Mike Fultonevich to be part of the long-term solution. You've come this far with him. You need him to be part of the long-term solution, too. Guy coming off his all-star season, you need him to be part of that solution. You need him to get back on track. Because Julio Teheran probably won't be here. But at some point, you're going to have to realize we can't have 31 starting pitchers. And at some point, we got to realize that pitching every fifth day in Gwinnett only means so much to my success for that club in Smyrna. There's only so many guys I can Partridge Family bus back and forth and burn diesel fuel in the air and everything like that, pollute the air for it, tie up traffic. No wonder they're making those. Now I know why they're making those toll lanes across top end of 285, trying to make it easier for the Braves to be able to ship everybody back and forth from. Make it much easier for them. Yes, exactly. Hey, look, who's going today? Oh, well, here comes Jerry Blevins. Hey, Jerry's back. Look, here, honk, honk. Here comes the Partridge Family bus, and off comes Jerry Blevins. And Johnny Venters gets released. They didn't even send him back to Buford. They said, you know what? We've burned enough diesel fuel for the week. I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get you an Uber to wherever you live. I'm not even going to send the bus back to Buford for you. We're just outright releasing you at this point. 404-741-0929 is the phone lines. Let's grab Wes out in Roswell. What's going on, Wes?
Nothing much, man. So a couple of things. First off, Madison Bumgarner already said there are 8 teams that he can veto and that he would not go to, and the Braves are on the list, by the way. That article came out 2 weeks ago. We don't need starting pitching. We need the bullpen help. And the thing is, you can't really blame our general manager or, like, anybody else because 8 of the top 10 offseason bullpen signees, 8 of them have an ERA over 5. So you only had a 20% chance to be successful to sign one of those guys. So if you trade some of those top prospects, who are you going to go get? Do you want an aging Craig Kimbrell who's, like, we're going to have to pay through the nose for?
Can I answer that, though?
Go ahead. Yeah.
I'll take Craig Kimbrell all day long. This is the stat I keep giving out to everybody that everybody just wants to poo-poo. The Red Sox won 7 of their 11 playoff games last year. 7 of their 11 playoff games were by 3 runs or less. Kimbrell saved 6 of those games. You can tell me about ERAs and all that kind of stuff. He saved 6 of their 7 wins in the playoffs. If I told you today, Wes, that Craig Kimbrell would have 6 saves in the playoffs, would you take that?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's what he is.
We got to be able to get to Craig Kimbrell.
Listen, I'm with you. I'm not telling you Craig Kimbrell solves all of your issues. My point is I don't believe for a second at this point that Atlanta is going to go in and sign him. I don't believe that they are.
I don't think they are either because from a financial standpoint, it's like Liberty Media Group, from a financial standpoint, we both know they don't want to pay that much money. They want to develop the prospects. And the thing is, what I wish we would do, and you may agree with this, I wish we would bring some of those young arms up and let them cut their teeth in the bullpen like we used to do with Steve Avery.
I agree with you. Yeah. Wes, I agree with you.
Newcomb looks good in the pen.
Yep, and Wes, I'm up against it, but appreciate the phone call. I agree with you. They've done that with Sean Newcomb. Why can't we do that with Tuki Toussaint and more of these guys? I keep saying, If Kyle Wright, if you tell me Kyle Wright's got dynamic stuff, because that's what I keep, he's got dynamic stuff. Okay. If he can't get me 18 outs right now, can he get me three? Can he get me four? Can he have, Sean Newcomb's got a roll. Five and two thirds, five strikeouts, no walks, no runs. He's got a roll. I'm for getting more of those guys and not Partridge Family bussing guys back and forth to figure it all out. Put some guys in some roles, define them, and let's go. I'm more for that route because I don't want to hear about dynamic stuff anymore. All right, when we get back, some more Braves talk. Is the Braves offense good enough to make you less concerned about some of these pitching problems? We'll talk about that next. Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
There's a high fly ball, walloped toward left center field. Kane on the run, track, wall, it's going to carry right out of here. Three-run homer for Dansby, and that's the way to break out of a dry spell. And the Braves have busted this game wide open.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back in the Kia Studios. Chuck, we're hanging out with you here today till 5 o'clock. Rob Tribble coming up next. That was, of course, courtesy of Fox Sports South, Chip Carey on the call. As Dansby breaks out of an 0-for-17 with a big three-run bomb last night. One of four home runs hit by the Atlanta Braves. 404-741-0929. That is our phone line. It's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can also reach me on Twitter at JMCH316. So, a good night at the ballpark. I know the score looks a little bit different at 12-8, but a 12-run lead at the very start. You know, this to me is an important series for the Braves, and Carl and I talked about it yesterday because you want to start measuring yourself against the better teams in the National League. You know, I talked about Braves were 0-6 against the Phillies and Dodgers so far this year. And I get it. It's a small sample size. You just like to be more than that. You know, and they took care of the Cubs, who've been red hot now. Good series against St. Louis. So they've done some good things. This is one of those series. Take two out of three. I don't care how you do it. You got to get up 12-0 to hold on 12-8. So be it. You got to win 1-0 tonight. So be it. But take two out of three from Milwaukee. They've been really good. They've got arguably the best player in the National League. They've got the biggest hammer on the back end of their bullpen. 42 strikeouts in 20 innings. Talk about a guy getting it done and Hader. H-A-D-E-R. Last night, one of the other guys who got into the mix last night, Josh Donaldson, ripped one deep.
Swanson. This ball is scorched by Donaldson opposite field. Look at that baby carry. That ball is in the bullpen. We're having fireworks all night tonight.
Chip Carey, courtesy of Fox Sports South, on the call that made it 8-0 last night. Now, the question I have is, no matter how you bat these guys, Austin Riley now, he's got 6 hits in 3 games. That ties in with Acuna, Yunel Escobar, and I forget who the other one was. But like three or other four players had 6 hits in their first 3 games as well. This lineup is so deep and so potent. They got power. They got speed. They got guys who can walk and get on base, a lot of good on-base percentages. Whether you hit Acuna first, fourth, whatever, however you mix it up, this team can score runs. Is it enough, though, to overcome some of their pitching woes? You know, granted, the Braves aren't going to score 12 runs every night, but this is an offensive lineup that, look, they get enough starting pitching out of the guys that they have. It's not always great, but Soroka, Fried, Tehran, Gosman, at least those four guys kind of keep you in everything, keep you close. By and large, though, the lineup finds a way to help get it done. Now, obviously, this game tightens down as you get into the playoffs, and I'm going to be curious to see about how the offense looks. Has Tyler Flowers logs more games? Has Brian McCann logs a lot more games? Has Nick Markakis logs a lot more games? Well, if Markakis logs a lot more games, and if Camargo's still here, I've got Camargo. I've got Austin Riley, who can play in the outfield for me. I have some guys I think that can be answers to it. You know, I'm not sure that the Braves lineup, if you get in the playoffs, is enough solely on its own. You're going to have some bullpen help. But certainly during this regular season, that Braves lineup – can carry them through a lot of these woes. It can overcome 8 runs from the bullpen last night. It can overcome all of that. Here's Brian Snitker talking about how dangerous this Braves lineup is.
Just guys are starting to, you know, starting to feel it. And you know, it's kind of something we've been talking about and kind of visualizing. When it happens, it could be something good.
No question about it. And they have a good park to hit in, obviously, too. You know, as this weather warms up, I'll be looking for balls to start flying out of SunTrust even more than what they do, especially for the left-handed hitters who pull it down the right field line. So there is a lot of different ways with Albies and Ronald Acuña give you some speed on the base pass. Freddie and Donaldson and even Markakis can draw walks. You know, Donaldson, Freddie, Acuña, Ozzie, even Dansby a little bit degree can give you some pop. They can give you some home run pop. Heck, Tyler Flowers has done a nice job for him. He's up to 293 right now. Now, one of the things that caused a little bit of a stir last night for some people was the fact that after 79 pitches, and this coming after that long inning that the Braves had where they scored 9 runs in about 40, 45 minutes worth, Brian Snitker decided to pull Max Fried, who's rolling right along and only 79 pitches. Here's Brian Snitker talking about why he thought it was a good idea to pull him.
I thought about sending him out. Then it just got so long, and you know, I didn't want to take any chance of him going out. And, you know, I thought maybe being on the base pads the first time, you know, would lend him to going back out. But then when he's hitting again, then, you know, I didn't think that was a good idea.
I agree with Snit. Look, 12-0, 40 minutes. I mean, that's almost like a short mini rain delay that you're asking him to sit. Plus running around on base paths and everything like that. Look, the reality is that if you're going to do the load management, right, the NBA load management term, if you're going to do that now with those guys. I need Max Fried to be able to have enough gas in the tank to be able to pitch longer into August and September, to shorten that bullpen, to give me more quality innings as we get down the stretch and maybe things get a little bit tighter. If Snitker can't trust his bullpen to hold a 12-run lead, that's not on Snitker for pulling Max Fried. And I know it upsets some people. Well, he only had 79 pitches. He's up 12-0. And he just was part of a 40-minute inning where he didn't pitch. Okay? Save those guys for later on. You can afford to have even Venters come in and do his thing, or Tomlin come in and do his thing as well. You can afford to have all of that go on. 404-741-0929 is our phone lines. Let's go out to Jay out in Jonesboro. What's going on, Jay?
Chuck, how's it going, my man?
Good, brother. What's going on, man?
Okay, first of all, let me start by saying I'm very much team have not. Hey, but you and I went back and forth about 2 weeks ago about Dansby Swanson. And I told you he'd be hitting less than 250 before the month is out. He's currently hitting 244, even with his three-run shot last night. And the thing that, the thing that irritates me about it is, it's like the fix is in for this guy. He's yet to hit 240 in a full season. Enciarte goes into a slump. He goes from first in the batting order to eighth. Dansby goes in the slump. He goes from seventh to second in the lineup. If he'd hit 280 with 19 homers and 76 RBIs, they probably would have threw a parade for him. I just really don't understand why he's continually getting a pass.
But you know what? You know what's interesting, Jay? You know, one of the things I talked about, he's on pace for 25 homers and 104 RBIs right now.
And I told you last time when you told me that, he ain't going to approach them numbers. He every year that he's been here, even his rookie year, okay, he'll have that little, you know, quick jump out, you know, a week and a half, 2 weeks where he just knocked the cover off the ball. And then all of a sudden he goes back to being Dansby Swanson, a below 240 hitter. And I could take that if he was giving me defense like, say, Andrelton Simmons, but he's not. And he continually skates by. If it's because he's from home, I don't care if he was from Topeka, Kansas. I could really care less where he's from. I can't continue to see him out there and put Johan on the bench. It's not right.
I understand, Jay. I think, well, first of all, Dansby does play excellent defense. Now, nobody is Andrelton Simmons. Nobody gets to that level. If Dansby's 20 and 85, You'd take that all day long out of Dansby Swanson. I know. His batting average isn't there. He's not going to hit 280, 290. He was the thing that one thing that bothers me offensively about him, early in the year, he took some walks. Now he can't walk to save his life. You know, he's on pace for only 54 walks for the year to go with 126 strikeouts. 126 strikeouts doesn't bother me because that's everybody in baseball. I like to see him walk a little bit more, especially if he's going to hit second. Mike out in Noonan. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, good afternoon. You know, I just wanted to say that I think it's great that they're scoring runs and they're stealing bases and doing all that great stuff. But to your question, can that overcome pitching? I just really think that pitching will always win World Series, just like defense will win Super Bowls. We tried to put all of our confidence in the Falcons' offense, and I think at the end of the day, you know, defense had to make some stops. So I just really think for the long haul, you have to have pitching if you really want to go all the way. And I appreciate the program.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that. Yeah, I get it. I mean, I would get a lead, get your starters deep. Your bullpen won't mean as much. I know it's a simple formula. I know it sounds very simplistic, right? But get the lead, get your starters into the seventh inning, and then your bullpen doesn't become as much of a factor. You know, that's where having that guy as one of your starters, that Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw, Chris Sale, where every fifth day I feel like my starter can go 7 to 8 innings for me, and he can hold it down, and he won't give up 1, 2, 3 runs in that. And my offense should be good enough that if he's only giving up 1 or 2 runs, my offense can put up enough of a crooked number to overcome that. Because the less these guys in this bullpen, my new favorite baseball term, high leverage, the less high leverage situations that you put these guys in, the better. And that was part of Snitker's, I think, thinking last night, is the fact that, look, better to pull Max Fried. Better to pull Max Fried 79 pitches in on May, whatever, 18th, well, it was last night. Better to pull him, or 17th, better to pull him then and let me have him ready for when August 17th rolls around, when September 17th rolls around. And you can afford to have, you know, Venters and Tomlin and, you know, Parsons and, you know, whatever else guys you want to just throw out into the mix for all of that at that point when your offense can just bang it around. It's going to be fun this summer to watch that offense bang it around out of that park. That ball's going to carry out of that ballpark. You see Donaldson starting to hit those opposite field home runs. Yeah, starting to hit. Yes, I got the hand gestures going, Robson. Got it all going in here. Got all the sarcasm and everything else going for it. When we get back, does picking 8 and 10 feel like the rebuild could take a little bit longer, or is it all about trust and Schlenk and everything's going to be right on track? We'll talk some Hawks with you next. Chuck Ray in the Key Studio, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the Kia Studios. John Chuckery here with you. About another 17 minutes to go. Then Rob Tribble will be coming on your radio airwaves. Take you on a Saturday evening if you're out and about. Don't forget 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. It's also our phone line if you want to interact with the show. Always reach me on Twitter at JMCH316. We're having lots of fun, by the way, with that guy that tried to say I was wrong about the Paul Millsap All-Stars and stuff like that. He tweeted out the link to the basketball reference page of Paul Millsap, where it shows that all four of Millsap's All-Star appearances were for the Atlanta Hawks, after saying that, no, it's not. Three of the four were under Jerry Sloan, and he's not telling. Oh, boy. Sometimes you can't make this stuff up on radio. Trust me, I get plenty of things wrong. You could put a whole Rolodex together. My whole life, okay, outside of these studios is all about getting it wrong, okay? So I can get plenty wrong in here. All you got to do is walk down the road with me, and you'll see how many things I get wrong just even going there, okay? But I knew I wasn't wrong about Paul Millsap. Anyway, so speaking of the Atlanta Hawks, obviously a very anticlimactic end to the NBA draft lottery. Y'all understand that the Hawks had a better percentage chance to get the number one overall pick than they did the 8th pick in the draft. They had, you know, 10-something percent to get the number one pick. It was like barely 8% to get the eighth pick of the draft. But again, it is Atlanta. You know, the Dallas pick, okay. I mean, that, you know, kind of wherever that fell, it kind of fell. I think the worst it could have been was 11th, so it was close. I wasn't even really concerned about whether or not we get something like that. But, dang, eighth. So now it begs the question where we were so hyped up about, could we get the number one pick? Well, maybe we could get even two or three. Now 8 and 10. Does that slow down the rebuild process some? Because Zion would have been transformational here. Forget what he can just do on the basketball court to have his talent around. All of the off-court stuff, the ticket sales and the hype and the hoopla and the national attention. And maybe could have swayed a free agent that maybe would not have thought about talking with the Atlanta Hawks. Maybe could have swayed him to maybe decide to want to, I don't know, come here and play with this team. Now you kind of say 8 and 10. You know, they've got 5 draft picks, I guess it is. They're not going to take 5 guys. I mean, there will not be 5 new guys on their roster. They'll package something and move up, or they'll stash and dash. Won't be. Travis Link's already said, we're not adding 5 rookies onto our roster. I personally wouldn't be surprised if they take 8 and 10 and even try to move up a spot or two. You know, not much. I mean, look, they're not getting to 3, 4, 5. Maybe they can get to 7, 6. I don't know. You know, I know the NFL has got the point system for how your picks go. You want to move from 15 to 9? Okay, here's what it's going to cost you in the draft because these picks are worth this amount of points. I don't know if the NBA has that or not. Because the difference between, look, in the NFL, having picks 8 and 10, that's really where you want to be. Having picks 8 and 10 in an NBA draft is, ugh. Mm. Now, look, I get it. That team out west, Travis Schlenk was part of, Steph Curry at 7, Klay at 10 or 11, whatever it was, Draymond at 30, whatever it was, I get that. I understand. It's not easy to pull those level of players, though, at 8 and 10. Okay? And I talk about that all the time. You know, they've got Durant. Well, he was 2. And they would play LeBron, and he was 1. And they'd play Kyrie, and he was 1. Right? I mean, like, some of the best guys, you know, are always right there at the top of the list of the best players. I get it. You find diamonds in the rough and stuff like that. But by and large, the percentages that you roll with, 8 and 10 doesn't find you a whole lot. Now, I trust in Travis Schlenk to get that guy. But 8 and 10 just doesn't do it for me. And maybe whereas had it been Zion or maybe the second or third pick and maybe it's R.J. Barrett or something like that, maybe we kind of talk a little bit more about playoffs and things like that. Maybe 8 and 10 means that it's an extra year without any kind of playoff run. Because like I said, besides having a Zion, could you have opened up conversations to KD or Cowie? Now, I think Klay Thompson can still be at least in the conversation, although I still think it's going to be really hard for Klay and KD to decide to, yeah, let's up and leave that organization as they're headed toward, you know, trying to go for another NBA title out there. It's going to be hard to give all of that up. Yeah, I know they all want to get paid and they all want their money. I understand that. But that organization would be really hard to leave. I can't imagine guys not wanting to play for Steve Kerr. The chemistry of that team, you know, say what you will, but I mean, those guys all function really well together, that collection of stars out there. So it would be really hard to imagine any of those guys leaving that. But stranger things have happened. Maybe Klay Thompson wants to be the man. Hey, come here, man. Come here and be it. So the draft will be interesting just from the standpoint of don't look for the Hawks to make 5 picks. Don't. If they do, you're going to get guys with consonants and stuff in their names that you can't pronounce from countries that are not even recognizable on a map, and they'll never even see the Atlanta Hawks franchise. I mean, you think Eddie Tavares was a stash and draft or draft and stash kind of player. There'll be guys like they'll be from Bulgaria that'll be drafted in some of that second round just to make a pick and put them over there and see whatever can happen with them at that point. But I wouldn't mind if the Hawks moved up a spot or two if they think they have their guy. And I'm not buying the draft hoopla either about, Hunter may fall and Reddish may fall and, oh, okay. Sure about that? There's a lot of those guys that I don't know that teams are going to roll the dice on and be like, yeah, let's pass up Cam Reddish and Hunter and let's go a different route. I don't know. I'm going to be surprised. Because I think we all know what the very top of the draft is going to look like. I mean, Zion's going one. Ja Morant probably goes two or three with Barrett two or three in that mix as well. I think the top few picks are pretty well decided out there. Some of that shake out. But you feel like kind of 8 and 10 just kind of gives you whatever leftovers, right? Like after everybody's picked off all the white meat on the turkey and everything like that, what's kind of left? Is there anything left out there? Is there anything left on the bird? Are some leftovers? I got to the party late and all the good food is gone. Now they got Chex Mix and some stuff like that left over, right? The shrimp cocktail was already eaten up. Now I got like Chex Mix. There ain't a whole lot left at the party to snack on. All the good stuff was gone early because I got to the party late. That's kind of how 8 and 10 kind of feels like it. This is where you got to hope. This is where Travis Schlenk gets the big bucks. This is where you got to put your faith in the idea that he finds a guy at that spot to help get it done. Find that guy at either 8, 10, both, or what have you. All right, when we get back, let's wrap things up. It'll be time to hand it off to Rob Tribble, Chuck Green, the Kia Studios, Sports Radio 929 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.